day and night, nationwide. Get the action of thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Sirius XM Sports presents...
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three at the races. And, of course, on Friday, we only had a brief opportunity to... mention and honor Angel Pennant Jr., who followed in his legendary father's footsteps and carved out his own outstanding career in North America. And Louis Carvajal Jr. is going to join us. Louis, obviously, down at Tampa, and the meet just getting started. there's a little of the local color at Parrot Jungle. Louis, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you? I'm happy to be on your show, but not really in this in this kind of deal. But Angel, what a gentleman. When I find out, and just very sad to see him go so early anyways.
And obviously a tough, the end, was rough. And, talk about Angel though, Louis, for you and your experience with him and what made him, so successful and so just admirable and enviable as a horseman.
Well, Angel, I worked for Angel in 1992. And he hired me as an SSR rider. And at that time, he had some really nice horses. He hired me, and after work for him for a few months, he told me that he leaves horses in New York in the winter time, but he told me that he takes his best horses to Gulfstream Park for the championship meet. And he said he really needed me there at Gulfstream. And I've been, you know, I was around in a different track. So I was in Aguado, Bellman, then I went to Garden State. So I was trying to find a job after I retired as a jockey, my short career as a jockey. I wanted to stay in one place, and that was New York. But I asked him one question, and I really didn't know him very well. I said, I will go to Gulfstream Park if you can help me out to get my papers in order, because I was running out of time and nobody wanted to sponsor me anymore. And he told me, Louis, I will do anything. I will send anything. It's no problem. As long as you go with me there, I need my best riders with my best horses over there. So he never hesitate. And to make this story a little short, I worked almost 6 years for him and I got fired. He fired me. He fired me because I used to come late all the time. Every time 10, 15 minutes late. He used to love to have those horses with the tack on and walk in the show about 10 minutes before they went out to the track. So usually every time I arrive, all the riders that were on their horses and my horse would be walking with the tack. And so after 6 years, I came later than that. So everybody was already on the track. So I jump on the horse and I'm going to the track. And then the assistant trainer called me back and said, Louis, they're coming back already. So Angel, I see Angel standing there. And I said, oh my God, what's he going to say to me now? And Angel goes to the assistant trainer, I think his name was George Weber, and who also passed away years ago, his assistant trainer. He says, George, put this horse on the stall. And he looked at me and goes, Louis, you fire. But after that, a couple of months later, I ended up being in Gulfstream, and he had horses there, and the assistant trainer, Megan, she had another assistant trainer, and he said, Louis, you want to get on some horses for Enya? I said, of course. And he never hesitated. He finished, he signed my papers anyway into the end, and we always stay friends. Any questions, especially when I win the lottery with Imperial Hen. The first time I went to Dubai, he was there to guide me. He always said, you know, you want me to get Frank Dettori for you, Louis, in Dubai? He's a good rider. So it was always there. It's just, you know, it's just so sad. And I think these people should have been, live longer, yeah. You know, it just, I don't know. That's the way I think about it. But I don't know if you want to still live in this kind of world, Steve, maybe you want to go early. So yeah. I don't know. It's, but like I said, I learned on his stable with really nice horses. And, you know, I don't know what else to say. Just, you know, it was like a father figure besides Bobby Dorso. This is the two giant gentlemen that were in my life on my profession as a assistant trainer and trainer, you know?
No doubt. You know, in those years, Louis, which of some of the big names did you get on in the 90s for Angel?
First horse that he came, when I first started working for him in New York, he came this filly from Europe. It was tall, little skinny filly, and her name, it was Via Borghese.
Via Borghese.
Yes. And I galloped her. What a horse. I galloped 9 keys. I think she won the Apple Blossom. Nice filly. Auntie Mame, I did gallop her, but I think when she started getting really good, Ruth Penna came around. So
yeah,
and then I became the second best. So that's very understandable because, you know, if my wife could have gallop horses, she'll be riding all my best horses too. I know, but so yeah, and I did ride Perfect Arc sometime. Perfect Arc, it was a great New York bred filly.
Yeah,
but one of my friends, he was a regular rider. Tano Emelo, his son, it was Orlando Emelo, which he was also like a kid for Angel Penna, because Angel Penna, I don't think he ever put an apprentice on a horse of his horses, but Orlando Emelo, he rode the first horse, I think, for Angel Penna, said Bark Boy, 10 pounds, something like that. You know, it was like that. They're from Argentina. Even, you know, that's a weird thing because I'm from Chile and he's from Argentina. And Argentina and Chile, we don't get along very well.
Yeah.
But, you know, my Angel is from Argentina. And then my best friend is Orlando Emelo. We know each other since we were 15 years old. And he's the godfather of my kid. And he's also from Argentina. So here we go, you know, Chile and Argentina, but the best guys I've been having around are from Argentina.
That was a heady time in the 90s. There was also Pulesta, right?
Pulesta, oh my God, yes. Pulesta came together. I think they were same owners with Via Burgis, I think, and if I'm not mistaken.
Let me check on that. Here, let's take a look. Pulesta went right up the ranks, really, and, you know, came from Ireland and ultimately got really good pretty late in her career, and won the Interborough, won the Affectionately. This came in 94,
yes. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I got the pleasure to ride some nice horses for him. But I did got, you know, growing up around Angel, I, you know, he teach me the good way. I was young, Orlando, Emelo, we were young. So when we went to Saratoga is the summer place to be. So we were young, 4:30 in the morning, we were coming home, getting dressed to go to work. So now somebody rings the phone in the house. So I answer the phone and I go, hello. And then it's Angel on the other side. I say, hello, this is Luis? Yes, I'm Angel. Oh, get the hell out of here. Come here right now. What the hell are you doing there? Like, yeah, because I was always asleep, but that was Saratoga. But he's, like I said, I love the way he used to train. I think he would never run a horse if he wasn't 200%, because his horses, they were always 1, 2, 3, even though if sometimes they have 6 months without running or 8 months without running, you know it was going to be 1, 2. I think it was a really nice horse once named Crimson, but he lasted not too long, but he was another nice horse that I rode for him. Yeah, that's it. You know, I wish I could have seen him because I had horses at Palmetto last year. I had horses at Gulf, and the year before I had horses at Palmetto's and Tampa too. But I got to see him a lot in Palmetto's when I was there. He was helping the Clockers, and he had a few horses on his own. Ruthie was working there, so it was always nice to see him. You know, he had a problem walking because his hip they were not good. You know, he used to love to play tennis. But I don't know. I even know that it's like I was a copycat. It's whatever his cologne or perfume was using, I'll ask him what he was using. I bought the same. I always remember. He used to use Chanel Antilles. Chanel Antilles. And I bought that for years because I wanted to smell just like Angel.
That's tremendous. Wow.
But yeah, and I had to, I don't know, Steve, like I said, I'm so, you know, I don't know. It's just tough to see all these people go, like Mike Hernandez.
Yeah.
First time I came to the United States, I arrived to his barn, and he took me in too. And all these people that are going, oh, I guess I'm getting old. I don't know. I guess we're getting old because everybody's leaving us. It's just like I said, if he has to write a book, I don't think I ever finished writing good things about Angel.
No, and I, everybody, I mean, everybody would have that same conclusion. He's one of those people that everybody admired and everybody liked.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, even when my father came from Chile, when he was riding Chile, he got off some horses for Angel Pena, and like I say, it's sad, you know, it gets sad. But at the same time, you know, he did really well, and he was with Ruth all the time, you know, and so at least I think he was happy. I wish he would have finished his professional, because I know he had a lot of nice horses before I even started working for him, like Christmas Pass, I think it was.
Sure.
He had some nice horses, more nice horses, but I always wanted to see him even into the end, like, you know, with 20. But I don't know. I think he, at the end, with his help, each problem, I don't think he wanted to do much of the same thing. And plus, horse racing, you know, it's not the same like when he was back in the 80s and 90s. You know, everything is changing. And then, so.
Yeah, one of the most interesting things, he had success with any kind of horse. Short, long, main track, grass, male,
yes,
female, didn't matter. You go through the list. One thing that you wouldn't necessarily think, just because of you know, the way South American, you know, racing is, he was terrific with sprinters, as you are.
Thank you for that. And, you know, that's why when you work for somebody like Angel, and his class of horses that he had at that time, and then you go work for Bobby Durso, which is another kind of horses that they were very successful with. So you learn both parties. And then, like I said, I did learn a lot of things with Angel, like I did with Bobby. But it's not easy, because the same way. I remember once we went to Gulfstream, we had 15 horses. So we run only 10 horses for the whole meet, but we won 9 races.
Wow.
Out of 10.
Wow.
Well, yeah, so that was like spectacular, and plus some stake races too. But that's not what with the race track once. The racer wants you to run, you know, 30 horses in the whole season. So next time we went back, we didn't get the same amount of stall because we only run 10 horses, even though that we won 9 races. But that's like I said, you know, you have to be really sharp to run one horse and just get there to the wire all the time. It's not an easy thing to do. And he did it, you know. It's, you have to just give him, like I said, you know, you give him the tools and give him the horses, and he was great. So I'm hoping that I learned something, and I owe him to him a lot of things. So a lot of stuff I owe him, a lot.
Well, and I know it's never easy to have this kind of a conversation. And I saw that, you know, shortly after the news started to circulate. In fact, when I passed it along on Twitter, I did not expect that I was going to be either first or one of the first people to say anything. I heard from Bill Hirsch, and I was kind of taken aback that it seemed like it was news to more people, most people. So when I saw that you reacted, I realized, you know, what, you know, how few, how little word had spread yet. I've known him these last 15 years or so, and just an absolute delight. Anytime you had a chance to either call him to talk about a win or about an interesting horse, or when you get to see him in person,
it was just like a warm welcome every time you came to see him, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it was never a moment there will. It was a doubt they will, you know, not ignore you or I'm too busy. I can't. No, it was always give you. Like I said, you know, it was very professional, classic gentleman, and you know, it's you find those people, but not that many anymore. No. That's what I say anyway. Even when when I was here in Tampa, I wanted to go. I think it was the time of the Breeders' Cup and Churchill Down. So I didn't know where to go. I didn't know many people at Churchill Down. I didn't know where to go. So I know the Mr. Ignacio Correa. I didn't know him very well. He has horses here at Tampa. And I was so scared to come close to Mr. Ignacio Correa because he's also from Argentina.
Mm-hmm. He's going to join us. We're going to talk to Nacho.
Right. So he said, well, why don't you talk to Ignacio? You know, you can probably go to his barn. I said, I don't know if I want to talk to Ignacio. Oh, okay. He talked to Ignacio. And since then, I have a good relationship with Mr. Correa. I don't want to call him Nacho because I don't have that kind of, but I have a good relationship. Anything that I needed, Ignacio was there just because Angel. And so, you know, he gave you, because of Angel, you know, I get to meet some more people and they were nice to me just because I didn't know Angel. So, you know, it is, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, I'm a Chilean guy. We don't get along a lot with the Argentine people, but my best people that have been there for me, Angel, Orlando Amelo, you know, Mr. Ignacio Correa, they're from Argentina. So, you know, what can I say?
Louis, I appreciate this. Nacho Correa is going to join us to also pay his respects to Angel. And, look forward to seeing you at Tampa. How you fixed for the season down there?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm talking to you right now from my barn here. Everybody's gone. I'm still here. I got to put some fans up because, you know, it's nice and warm here in South Florida. Well, so I'm working here, and we're getting everything ready. So I think in another week I'll start shooting some bullets. Hopefully they're good bullets and not blanks.
There you go. Louis.
So, Steve, listen, I'm so happy to be back in your show. I'm not happy this way, but I think it's nice for us to put to people know who really Angel Penny was. And if he was me, I'll put a monument to him because I can't say so many good things about him.
Louis, I'm so pleased you could do this for us because, everybody that particularly the trains, they've got a catalog of knowledge that was acquired, you know, from the people they worked for. I guess there are natural horsemen, but you gotta learn somewhere along the way, and that's the kind of thing that I know that our audience, you know, they want to hear the stories, they want to hear the appreciations, and we'll get Nacho to join us too, and you know, his his ties go back to Argentina as well. So, Louis Carvajal, thank you. And good luck during the meet at Tampa. We'll probably see you around. Won't see you for Tampa Bay Derby because I'm going to be in Vegas. So I'm going to shoot for Sam Davis weekend.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Steve. Good luck. And I'm very sure I'll see you soon. Thank you.
You got it. Louis Carvajal, everybody, who, of course, trained the great Imperial Hint and the top rider and, you know, gets his horses ready. And he hasn't sent any, you know, just got started, obviously, at Tampa this season. So he's got the whole winter ahead of him at Tampa Bay Downs. Going to reach out for Nacho and it's appropriate that we get him to join. It's funny that how his name came up even before I mentioned that Louis Nacho Correas and he joins us now. Nacio, I appreciate this. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm well. I hope you had a nice holiday. And I absolutely, Louis Carvajal just joined us, and I thought of you as well. Of course, your relationship with Angel, both Angel Jr. and his father. Tell everybody what the pen is, what they represent in terms of the heritage of Argentinian horsemen.
Well, I mean, it's like the whole family, even the ones that they are in Argentina, the brother of Angel, Julio, and his son, Julio and Mariano. I mean, it's like they're all legendary trainers. I mean, in Angel Sr., I mean, there is not much that I could add apart of his Epsom Derby and his two arcs. I mean, for an Argentinian to accomplish that. And about Butch, I mean, he was 2-3 times leading trainer in Spain. He was a fabulous trainer here, but I think that he was in my case, especially, I mean, we are very close to the Penas, my whole family, with our whole family. And in my case, it was, I'm going to remember him more as a person than as a trainer.
Hmm.
So, I mean, he was always very kind, when you have a problem and you call him for advice, he will always give you good advice. And well, I mean, Louis knew him as well as I did. He worked with him. So, I mean, it's a big loss as a friend. And he's one of the good guys, you know. And when the good guys leave, I personally think that he's in a better place now, because I was, you know, in touch with him as much as he could. And I think that he's probably on a better place. But it's very sad when you lose, you know, the people you love.
No, exactly. And so well-liked and respected. As a horseman, what differences? Is there nuance difference between the heritage of South American horsemen and the rest of the world or North America?
I mean, it's like, I don't know. I have a very special vision of that. I think that South Americans are very good horsemen. I think that when they had failed here is because they probably don't Americanize enough. I think that when you are in Rome, you do like the Romans. I mean, and of course, you can never forget all you have learned. And there's a lot of things that, you know, they're going to help you through your career. I was blessed. I work in France. I mean, for a couple of years, so everything is experience, and you have it in your bag. But when you're in Rome, you look like the Romans, so you need to adapt yourself to you know, to where you are training. When you are training, no matter if it's, you know, could be America, could be France, could be England. I mean, I think that that was one of the good things about the pennants. Because we all talk about, you know, the campaign of Angel Senior about in France or in America, but he was twice also leading trainer in Venezuela. I mean, he was all over the world, you know, training. And as Angel, you know, that he was leading trainer in Spain. But I think that we produce, and I think that Chile too, I mean, we produce good horsemen. Maybe the disadvantage that we have is that we don't have all the tools that you have here or, you know, you have in France, you know. We are probably a good 20 years behind. So, you know, sometimes when you come here, all the, even the beats or, you know, a lot of things, you know, the way you work on the barn and all that is something that you can, you have to, you know, get to learn it and to do it. I mean, it's like, and if you learn it and you do it with, you're going to do okay. I mean, hard work always paid.
It, you know, one other aspect, and Louis kind of referred to it, Nacho, that he basically would only carry a string of 15, 18 horses from a very different mindset in terms of, you know, having only so many horses to put their hands on. I mean, he told a story about running at Gulfstream, brought 10 horses down, or like 15 horses, made 10 starts and won 9 races. It's you know, that can't happen anymore.
Well, that was a Penna classic, if you want. They never ran too much, and when they sent a horse to the racetrack, usually was the best that he can be, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a signature of the family in general. It's the same in Argentina. It's the same everywhere. So, yeah, I mean, he never was, you know, I think that the most that he had was probably 28, 30 horses at some point in his life. But he was a hands-on trainer, no doubt. And he enjoyed checking his horses and do some chiropractic tricks, you know, every morning. I have been a witness of that. And he really cared about his horses. And I think that he didn't like the hassle, you know. And that was his only weak point. He wasn't a hassler.
Yeah.
And that in these days is, you need to be kind of a hustler, you know, you need to yep. show yourself. And if you want to get, you know, some good horses. But, I mean, I will, you know, whatever he was as a trainer, I think that was a very good one. I think that he was probably a better person.
Really, really nice.
At least with me, and I can only talk about my personal sure. experiences. And he was like an uncle to me in America when I first came. You know, you have to understand, I really barely met him in Argentina. I was too young, and then he left. So essentially more than a couple of times that, you know, he came to Argentina and I saw him, how are you? You know, I mean, it's like we didn't have the friendship that we built here in America when I arrived to Belmont, you know.
Yeah.
That's when we really become friends, and that was when he really become kind of, you know, a person that I will talk when I have a problem or whatever. Very nice man. He's going to be dearly missed.
Nacho Correas with us, paying tribute to Angel Penna Jr. And Nacho, before I let you go, how you position for the winter? I know you've been starting horses you know, in the upper Midwest. I see you got one in at Turfway opening week, and you ran at Hawthorne the other day and Churchill. What's your winter look like?
Oh, my winter looks like I'm going to stay in my home base, that is Keeneland. And I'm going to ship from here some to Oakland, some to Fairgrounds, maybe some to Gulfstream, very little, but some. And then try to run what I can at Turfway. But it's going to be, I mean, I'm pointing more to March, April, and the next coming months. I have a couple of Chilean good fillies, very good Argentinian filly too. I have a very good Chilean filly, a very good Argentinian filly. And then I have another couple of, one Argentinian more and two more Chileans coming this by the end of the month. So we hope to be loaded for the spring, you know.
Nice. Well, Naso, tell us, what's the name of the Argentinian and the Chile that you have on hand?
Well, the Chilean, they're both undefeated in America. One is Gidia, but she won an allowance, and then she won the Old Nelson, beating Alms in Colonial Downs. And the other filly come back on an allowance at a mile at Churchill. She won by 3 or 4 lengths, and then I ran her an allowance at Keeneland, and she won by 3 or something like that. She's undefeated here, the Chilean one, on the dirt. One on the grass, one on the dirt.
Well, Le de Vida is the Chilean.
Le de Vida, yeah. And I have another Chilean filly that I'm going to run probably on the 9th. At Oakland, but she's a sprinter, but she's very good. Her name is Picana.
Picana.
She's a very good filly. Yeah. Picana. So, yeah. Her real name is Picanha, like the cut of meat that the Brazilians eat.
Okay.
You know, like when you go to the Espeto Corrido, they serve you that.
The Churrascaria.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. But that's her real name. But here, you know, we don't use that little thing. So it's Picana only. But the reality is that is a terrible name, you know.
Yes, it is.
From a juicy, nice name, the Picana. You know what Picana is? Picana is the thing that you use with electricity for the cows, for, you know, I don't know. It's not something that you will like.
No, that's a terrible name.
Picanha, yes. Picanha will love.
Unbelievable. Where do you stand with, oh my gosh, was it Chitara?
Chitara, I give her a little break, and we're going to point for a campaign next year, and I think I'm going to start her probably like I did last year in Fairgrounds. I mean, if I can find a race for her. It's not easy to find races for her. But, you know, some place in February, not before that.
Very good. Well, Nach, I really appreciate this, the opportunity to draw on your friendship with the Pennas, and pay tribute, appropriate tribute to Angel, who was just really so widely liked, admired, and appreciated. So thank you, and I look forward to seeing you this winter.
Me too. Good talking to you as usual, Steve. Be well.
You too. Nacho Correas, everybody, and just somebody that is really carrying on the, I guess technically, is it the legend of the gaucho, the horseman, essentially, in North America. And, one thing we didn't, I'm glad that Nacio talked about Angel Sr. and his, you know, that record in Europe with the Epsom Derby and Arcs and so forth. I mean, it's unbelievable. And he died young too. I mean, 60, I think 61 or 62. So here's his son, you know, who, I mean, 74, 76? Still, it's young in this day and age. Brad Cox is standing by, and we'll close out the morning with Brad on the heels of the end of the Churchill season, culminated with Bubble Rock winning the Mrs. Revere with Joel, and then Instant Coffee, who we all saw at Saratoga, break the maiden, and then finishes up in the Kentucky Jockey Club for Al Gold, and it feels like there's the next Cyberknife. No sooner does Cyberknife retire, here comes a replacement in the Black Silks with the gold square. Brad, congratulations on a nice weekend.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me on. Cyberknife's not retired yet either, by the way.
All right, actually, let's start with that. Is he going to run like in the Don at Gulfstream?
Oh, the Pegasus.
The Don.
Yeah, there you go. The Don with a $3 million purchase.
Right.
He that's our plan right now. We're preparing for that. He's actually Churchill right now. We'll ship him down later this week to Fairgrounds and prepare for the Pegasus, and that will be his final start. But he's doing really well. He came out of the Breeders' Cup extremely well.
Well, and we haven't talked actually, and I just realized that we have not talked since the Breeders' Cup, and that was a tough beat. Actually, let's be honest, Cody's Wish and he shoulder to shoulder. I mean, that could have gone either way.
Yeah, no doubt. It was a good race. It was a good story, obviously, with Cody's Wish. But I was very proud of our horse and his performance. He acted as if he was going to run a big race, and he did. He ran a winning race and just second best there at the wire, but proud of the effort.
Well, meanwhile, we're certainly always happy when Al Gold gets a nice horse, and it seemed pretty clear when Instant Coffee broke the maiden at Saratoga that there was going to be something to work with. Talk about what you're looking at here now adding the Kentucky Jockey Club to the resume.
Well, you know, it's big that he's able to perform well at Churchill.
Sure.
We'll work our way back from the Kentucky Derby. We'll ship him to the Fairgrounds some point this week. He came out of the race in great shape. He's a very sound horse, smart, intelligent horse that I thought overcome, a wide trip yesterday. He drew wide, but, with no pace on and sitting near the back of a bunch group, he was able to overcome the ground loss and finish up, kind of really going away, I thought. So big effort just in his third start. And, I'm hopeful that, as long as he continues to move forward, he could be one of the top 3-year-olds next year. He's a very intelligent horse, beautiful black horse that is really, got a great, once again, a great mind, and steps up and does whatever you need out of him. Trains, really well.
Well, let's juxtapose him with the much more difficult and problematic Cyberknife, who was, a problem child, and you had to work with extensively to get him focused.
Yeah, it's obviously the same ownership, but the two horses are polar opposites by far. Cyberknife's actually improved a tremendous amount the second half of this year, since the Kentucky Derby on. He's improved a lot mentally, and obviously physically he's grown as well. So, two very nice horses. Gold Square's done a good job. Joe Hardoon selected them, and Al's been great to work with. Just kind of let you do your thing, and I know he's a New York, New Jersey guy, but he's allow us to put these horses where they can compete and run and be successful, and it's worked out really well.
Well, and one of the good parts about that is you don't have to worry about Al hopping on an airplane and coming to bother you at Fairgrounds or Oakland.
No, he tried it for the Arkansas Derby. It didn't work out. And I think he did come for the Breeders' Cup. I think he did jump on a plane for the Breeders' Cup. But I don't know. I can't remember if he drove or flew to the Breeders' Cup. But he still won't take the third elevator to the third floor for our works at Saratoga in the mornings. He walked up the steps. So it's funny stuff.
We love Al, and Al, you know, Al, who used to make regular appearances, but now he has decided he's only coming on after grade one wins.
Yep, he's come a long way.
This is the Bolt Doro, of course, 200,000, and you know, that has been in the wheelhouse. As it happens, Al has actually, you know, stepped up and written some bigger checks, like many owners that are, you know, that are positioned this way, basically being stretched a little bit more when it comes to the, you know, the sale items. And the other thing that was going on when I saw them, when I saw the team, which you know, included Al and Joe and Chad Summers, saw them, you know, at the bloodstock sale, because now, you know, with a stallion of Cyberknife's stature, you got to buy some mares, right? You're going to use some of those covers. Sure.
Yeah, no, they've been stepping up and buying not just yearlings to race, but, you know, broodmares to support Cyberknife. So, you know, he's going to give him every shot he can.
Well, instant coffee, and of course, before this spot comes out, you know, does come out of what is increasingly, I think it's easy to see, an increasingly key race in the Breeders' Futurity. You know, that includes Loggins, by the way. Oh, you know, I have not. I did not look. Did you look at the closing prices from the future wager?
I did. I believe the field was a heavy favorite, followed by I think a Forte and maybe Extra Anejo was maybe the choice at 13. I think Loggins and Giant Mischief got some play. Can't remember exactly the odds. Maybe Giant Mischief was 29-1.
A little bit more. I got it now. 35-1 for Giant 35. Mischief. And Loggins, 19-1.
Right. And then Instant Coffee as well. He was
35.
I actually did look at that this morning. I couldn't remember. 35, yeah. 35? The Victory Formation maybe was bet down a little bit as well.
Holy cow. I forgot about Victory Formation. Glad you mentioned him. And, of course, ended up coming out of the Stars of Tomorrow card with the best figure.
Yeah, he's a nice colt. We just wanted to give him one more run around one turn before we stretched him out. And Lisa Isaacs has jumped off of him twice and said, you know, he should be able to go long. So I'm confident that he will. He's bred to Tapper to have a smart strike mare. Very smart horse. Sound horse that's, you know, looking forward to getting around two turns and hopefully, you know, making his march toward May.
Well, Victory Formation 60-1, and a couple of other Brad Cox players. Give everybody a quick update. Those that bet, Corona Bolt was 65-1, Verifying 74-1, Hit Show 90-1, Tappet's Conquest 94-1.
Yeah, they're all doing well. Hit Show was a touch disappointing this weekend. I thought he was just too far out of it. He needed to be a little more involved. So, you know, we're hopeful that, you know, we'll bring him back in a first level allowance at Fairgrounds or Oakland. But he did come out of the race in good order. So I'm hopeful that we can get him back on the Derby trail. And Corona Boat just shipped down to the Fairgrounds. Looking forward to getting him started again here in December. And a bunch of these, Tapas Conquest, Verifying, same thing. So, and I think we're very fortunate to have a very, very good group of two-year-old colts or twos turning threes. And you know, we just got to keep these horses, you know, ticking over, happy, healthy, and you know, make them march toward May. It's what it's all about, is getting to the Kentucky Derby and being one of the 20 horses that can get in there.
Well, of course, Instant Coffee gets points out of this. Always nice to start banking those. And, you know, how early in the Fairgrounds lead up do we expect to see him?
You know, it's hard to say, Steve. I mean, I think the LeCompte would be one race that would be, you know, something to look at. The Southwest at Oaklawn, just up the road, I believe, is the end of January. Then you have the Rebel. And then obviously the Risen Star. So I'd say one of those are probably going to make the most sense, you know, based off pedigree. I think he's going to get the mile and a quarter. He'll get the mile and a quarter. I think he showed in his race the other day that he's capable of getting the mile and a quarter. And, you know, we'll see what makes the most sense for him. We'll probably give them a few easy weeks and then, you know, start getting cranked up toward the end of December for wherever we decide to give them a shot.
Well, and clearly with this list that we just went over of the future wager that are under Brad's care, you're going to have to keep everybody separated as much as you can.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's just we're in a good position. And, you know, I'm hopeful that there's a couple more of these Colts that we haven't run yet that that'll jump up. I tell people that we had three horses that made it in the start gate last year, and none of them had a point to start the month of the March. Was Zozo's Tony Port and Cyberknife. None of those horses had a point in March, the start of March, and felt very confident that all of them would be able to accomplish enough in their prep races to get into the Derby. I really felt that, but those were horses that obviously Cyberknife was kind of on our radar in December, but to say Tony Port and Zozo's were horses that were going to make the Kentucky Derby, I'd be lying if I told you I thought they were. So once again, I think we've got a deep group of three-year-olds that, you know, I think there's some that are not on that list of future Derby participants that could show up. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know. But once again, a good group.
Before I ask you about some of the other performances, including Folsom and West Willpower in the Clark on Friday, as well as, of course, Bubble Rock winning the Mrs. Revere, I do want to ask you, I did get a tweet from, let's see, Chad in Metairie wants to know, where is Zozo's?
Zozo's is back on the work tab. He worked fantastic this past weekend. He just worked 5/8 in a minute, and he's very, very close to making his, first start off the layoff. It could come in the next few weeks. We'll see how things go, but he's doing very, very well.
Good deal. All right. So there we will see him coming back soon. I mentioned West Will and Folsom, and Mike Stidham will join us tomorrow to talk about Proxy winning the race. Two good shots. Folsom kind of got untracked late, arrived late on the scene, but West Will Power, you know, involved from the bell.
Yeah, I was, you know, he had a great trip. Louis come back. He was a little disgusted. He didn't get there. It felt like the horse kind of maybe started balking a little bit down the lane. And when Ray Luke Gutierrez rode the horse at Ellis this summer, he said the same thing. He said, I thought I was going by. He kind of idled a little bit and then got running again and then idled a little bit and started running on again. So a little bit of a funny horse. I know he's, you know, obviously raced a good bit, but, you know, horses have their, you know, odd way of doing things. And it may have cost him the other day. I really felt like at the eighth hole, go on, he would have won, but he just kind of let I'm not going to say he let the other horse did run a big race, but, you know, kind of felt like he just kind of waited a little bit on the other horse and then galloped out on even terms with the winner. But you know, listen, it was a great effort, proud of the horse. He come out of it in great shape. I'm looking forward to getting his 2023 campaign going, and you know, he give him a good bit of time. He came back, and once again, he's been great.
Give us a quick hit on Bubble Rock, and then I want to ask you about a couple of starters. When's the Mrs. Revere?
Yeah, Bubble Rock came out of that race great. Not sure where we're going to go with her, but that was big to, you know, pick off a grade two.
Always, and of course, for John Ed Anthony, a nice graded win for the More Than Ready. What is she? She's a three-year-old. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, three, turn four.
So plenty to do looking ahead. And speaking of looking ahead, we've got about a minute and a half, and we'll do the lightning round with Brad kicking off the season at Turfway, Botanical for LNJ Foxwoods. Then you got some maidens at Fairgrounds as well.
Yeah, Botanical is doing well. Excited about giving her another run. Our last run at Keeneland was really, really good. So we'll see how she does on the synthetic. She's worked well on it. She's been there. Obviously, the plan was to take her to the Fairgrounds, but with no turf, this is where we ended up. And Tappet Shoes, second start. Hopefully, he'll break a little better. Rad and Blinkers as well. I'm looking for it. That's actually Cyberknife's younger brother by Tappet. I'm really looking forward to him taking a big step forward there at the Fairgrounds next week.
How about
later in the week?
Later in the week. How about the Alice look in the seventh at Fairgrounds on Thursday?
Yeah, she's doing good. Taking the blinkers off, going to try to get her relaxed and ready a little bit better than she did last time. And obviously on hopefully a dry track this time, looking for a definitely a better performance.
Brad Cox Racing on Twitter, everybody. Brad, nice way to close out the meet at Churchill. Instant coffee for Al Gold. Luby Saez closes out a six-win day in the Kentucky Jockey Club. And, of course, earlier, as mentioned, the win by Bubble Rock, plus Victory Formation, and so much more. If we don't talk to you between now and the holidays, Merry Christmas, and look forward to seeing you down the road.
Very good, Steve. Thanks, and have a good holiday.
Brad Cox, everybody, there you go. And there is our show for today, as the saying goes. And we got a lot in. Tributes to Angel Pena Jr. from Luis Carvajal and Nacio Correas. Brad Cox just now, earlier. Amos, Tom Amos, and Butchie Reed, Rich Migliori as well. That was a fast 3 hours. Not unexpected. Tomorrow, Andy Serling will get Mike Stidham here and more. We also have to talk about Jed Cohen's passing, hoping to get Daryl Vienna to come join us. And we got to cover off actually all the action at Del Mar from the weekend. Haven't done that. Probably get got to get Mark Glatt. We'll get Mark Glatt in after winning the red carpet. We love talking to Glatt. And D'Amato can't run turf stakes in California without Phil D'Amato. Good luck if you're playing today, everybody. There's some options out there for you, you know, including, let's see. Let's give you a quick, oh, I'm going to run out of time here. Come on, sluggo. No, I'm not going to get there, am I? No, I'm not. All right. Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, everybody.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.